Hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Free Man Beyond the Wall podcast. This is your host, Mance Rader. This is episode 94. It's going up on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, eBooks, YouTube, my website, freemanbeyondthewall.com, and on libertarianinstitute.org in the blog section. I want to remind you about my book, Freedom Through Memedom, The 31-Day Guide to Waking Up to Liberty. It's available on Amazon, paperback, Kindle. It's available if you have a Kindle Unlimited account. You can download it for free. People have asked me how they can support the show, how they can support the things that I'm doing. And the only thing I'd say is buy the book. You know, if you've already bought it and you think it's a great book, please give it to somebody else. If you know, pass it, lend it, do whatever you can. If you want another copy, order another copy. Anything that I make off of the book is going to go towards this show and equipment and just basically trying to promote liberty. So with all that said, today I am presenting an interview that I did with Mark Clare from Lions of Liberty. Mark interviewed me in January about my book. I think it's a great interview. Mark asks great questions. He can get you to talk about things that people normally don't, just because he's such a great interviewer. He's been doing this for a while, so he listens and he knows what questions to ask. Something that I'm trying to learn in my own podcasting. Lions of Liberty is great. They have three shows a week. Mark's comes out on Monday. On Wednesday, Electric Liberty Land comes out with Brian McWilliams. And John Odermatt's show on Friday is Felony Friday, which is a favorite of mine, where he talks to people in the criminal justice system, people who've been victims of the criminal justice system. It's just an all-around remarkable, what I call, just network of shows. So without any further delay, this is an interview that Mark Clare did where he's grilling me. So enjoy.
My guest today is the author of Freedom Through Memedom, the 31-Day Guide to Waking Up to Liberty, as well as the host of his own podcast, Free Man Behind the Wall. I'm very pleased to welcome Mance Rader. Mance, my man, are you ready to roar?
Man, I really appreciate you having me on today. I really enjoy your show, and let's do it.
There is no better way to roar than with compliments to start things off. So that works for me, my man.
I'm glad. We all love to hear good things about ourselves.
We do indeed. And, you know, I know you like to roar because I've been following you on Twitter for a few weeks here. And I know you kind of get fired up a little bit. So before we get into how you became a libertarian, I'm kind of curious, what are the issues that really get you the most fired up? What really gets your gander going, so to speak?
Authority. Anything, I mean, the legitimacy of authority, the idea that there are people in the society who believe that they have authority over another human being, and the other group of people, the much larger group of people, that believe that they can bestow rights upon these people that they don't have themselves. That just drives me absolutely crazy. And I think it permeates throughout my book.
Yeah, and I went through your book, 31 Day Guide to Waking Up to Liberty, Freedom Through Memedom, and I know it's supposed to be 31 days. I felt like I was kind of on the advanced course. I did it in one day. I know that's not how you recommend going through it, but I feel like I'm on the advanced levels of liberty at this point after 4 years of podcast hosting or so. But that's one thing that I actually wrote down in my notes, that you are very keen on this idea of anti-authority, or really the being against illegitimate authority. I think we should really clarify, because there's different kinds of authority in the world. There's authority that we cede to maybe our bosses sometimes. There's voluntary authority, I guess you might say, but what you really focus on a lot, and a lot of the memes that you bring up, and we'll talk about those more in a bit, but is really that idea of individual sovereignty, and that a lot of the authority that we see in our society, in our institutions, in our government, they really are not legitimate, and the only reason that we as a society generally follow that authority and see to it as being the true authority, if you will, is just basically that view that you're fighting against, that view that we should just be bowing to authority as opposed to questioning it.
Well, it also has a lot to do with fear. I think fear is one of the overriding things that influences the whole world right now. Everybody's afraid. So I need somebody to protect me. So I'm going to give this person authority to protect me. And that's not a problem. If police weren't weren't existing off of stolen money, tax money, it would be a lot better. You know, private security forces, I think, are preferable. But that if police just had the same rights that you do, that is the right of self-defense of themselves or to step into another situation when somebody else is being harmed. But that's not what they do. That's not what they are basically to me. They are the arm of the politicians and the lawmakers. These lawmakers, they make up laws, and police go out and they enforce these laws. They're not peace officers. They're not protectors. They're not there to protect and serve. Less than 5% of the time do they show up at a crime to stop it. So why? And then take into consideration something like the court decision Warren versus District of Columbia, which decided that they do not have a mandate to protect you. They can show up, see a crime being committed against you, and they can stand back and do absolutely nothing. And you have no recourse. You cannot sue them. And that's what Warren versus District of Columbia decided. It said that they cannot be sued. And it makes no sense to me that lawmakers can come up with these ridiculous laws and that hurt no one, where you have a law where there's no victim whatsoever. If I look at a court document and it says the state of Georgia versus Mance Rader, well, that tells me that there's no damaged party, because if it's the state of Georgia and there's no damaged party coming forward and it's just a couple of lawyers who don't know you from Adam,
right?
Well, there's nothing there.
Where is the human being that Mance has harmed?
Well, where is the damaged party? And I've been saying that for years before I even became a liberty-minded and became a libertarian. I would say that. I would say, where is the damaged party in all of this? It's, you know, you see these court cases and you're people going to jail for a plant that was legal 100 years ago. And now all of a sudden the jails are full of people because of a plant. It is just absolutely insane. And what's even more insane is there are people walking the streets voting who believe, yes, this plant is dangerous and that person deserves to be in jail. That person deserves to be raped.
Right. That's the scary thing. Not only that people just believe this, but that those people then go and pull a lever for people that not only believe it, or maybe the politicians themselves don't believe it. I think they're more probably just beholden to whatever their donors want. But those politicians are going to go actually write laws that will enforce those beliefs, which is far scarier. That's actually something maybe reasonable to be afraid of, as opposed to what you're talking about, where people are so afraid of all the possible ills in the world that they look to this authority to just handle everything, take care of anything you have to, ban whatever plans you have to, make whatever actions illegal you must. Just please keep us safe.
And then they have then there's their security force, police, that go out there and for the most part mindlessly just enforce these laws, and it in many cases initiate conflict with people who aren't doing anything wrong, who haven't hurt anybody. I had a Twitter back and forth earlier this week with somebody, at the end of last week, and he was a former police officer, and all he kept saying was that he was just following orders, and that if I wanted to change things, go elect different people. Well, that's not, look, if police wanted to protect the public, if that's what their job is, if that's what they think they're supposed to do, then arrest corrupt politicians, arrest corrupt cops, arrest corrupt judges, and arrest corrupt lawyers, because those are the people that are doing the most damage to the public. If you believe in the Constitution, which I don't believe, I'm a Lysander Spooner fan. I don't believe that the Constitution has anything to do with me. I don't claim it for any of my rights. But if you're one of those people who claims the Constitution and you see a politician and you've taken, and then, these people take an oath to it. Well, if you see somebody who's breaking it, if you see somebody who's, you know, who's going totally against the Constitution, then these guys should probably be getting in there and arresting them for it. But no, it's not. They're just looking at the laws, and the laws have absolutely nothing to do with the Constitution. It's just basically business. And it's to get people through the court, get people into prison where money can be made in the prison industrial complex, where get people into court where you can fine them, even after somebody has paid, quote unquote, paid their debt to society. Okay, we're going to need you to be on parole. And being on parole, you're also going to be paying us to be on parole. It's a sham. It's not. They've really, I mean, if you were to look at the amount of arrests, if you were to take every arrest that happened in 2017 and look and see how many of the people who were arrested actually harmed another person, another human being's person or property, you're talking fractional.
Yeah, and you mentioned to me, before the show that you were a big fan of Felony Friday, and I can certainly see why, because you certainly have a passion for that injustice, or to speak against the injustice, I should say, in our criminal justice system, because it really is just – it's a factory of producing – not only turning people who may or – most people did not even harm anybody. Like you said, most people are in jail for a plant or what have you. Some people are in jail because they stole something like that. Again, in that case, they're paying their debt not to the person they stole from, not to the person they harmed. They're paying the debt to – the state of California or whatever state they're in, or the prison or the judges or the security guards, all the people that are making money on their arrest, on their incarceration along the way. And what's even worse than that is on top of all that, you get these guys working for literally slave wages for major corporations. And so we also tie in this crony capitalist aspect to it, where the system just continues to feed on itself.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I mean, we see that. There's a rapper here in Atlanta named Killer Mike, and he's really, through his rapping, he really was the one who opened my eyes to how basically people, how having this huge prison population creates slaves and creates slave labor that is basically pennies on the dollar. But I think I think what people really need to understand is, that Anybody in a courthouse, okay, if you're worried about the cops, think about this. The people, the judges, the prosecutor, and the public defendant are all getting paid by the same fund wherever that the cops are getting paid from. And Scott Horton says this. He says, when you look at a courtroom, everyone in there is a cop. They're all cops. They're just basically there to enforce the law, get you in jail, get you to, you know, they're basically there to take away your freedoms because it makes them money. It's what it's how they survive. Right. And it's just absolutely insane to me that people can actually, you know, think that, you know, the country that has the most laws, the biggest per capita prison population, I mean, half of those people are in there for nonviolent drug crimes, how they think that we can be the freest country in the world. I mean, have these people never traveled anywhere else? I mean, I was just in another country a couple months ago, and I was there for 10 days, and I never saw a police officer the whole time, not even at the airport.
I mean, I've done a lot of traveling through South America, Central America, a little bit of Asia, and the first thing that I really started to think about when I was traveling, this is well before I had a podcast, I was a libertarian, but it maybe wasn't what was on my mind every minute of the day. I don't think I was looking for libertarian angles on everything, but it just struck me how much different the interaction with the police, the very minimal police presence that there is in a lot of these countries. Often there are police. Often there's – in some countries, I was in Colombia where they had these things called tourist police. Now, we're going to be skeptical about anybody called police, anybody's hired by the state. But honestly, they don't have all of these laws, and they're not going around trying to arrest people and trying to find people, you know, find what somebody might be possessing, what plant they might be possessing. They're not going around. They're literally standing there saying hi to tourists. That's literally all they do. And I do think they're there because if to prevent tourists from being accosted. Now, I think we'd all agree the state shouldn't be who's organizing that. But that attitude, like you said, the police should have the same rights as everybody else earlier. They should have the right to defend themselves and to defend other people, to intervene on behalf of others. It seems that our system is the exact opposite right now. And even going through other quote unquote sadist systems around the world, you quickly start to realize that our system in the quote unquote land of the free, it feels a lot less free, especially when you experience that feeling in other parts of the world.
Well, yeah, I mean, the reason I wrote the book is very, it's not, I don't think the book is very anarcho-capitalist. I don't believe it's very libertarian. I believe it's very classic voluntarist. And the point is from the very first day, the first day talks about taxation as theft. The second day talks about if a bunch of people vote that they can, you know, that they can do harm. Can a bunch of people vote to do something that will cause you harm? Well, if three people can't vote to have someone else beat you up and five people can't do it, how can a million people do it? How can a million people vote to say, okay, if we don't like the way you're driving down the street, you know, you haven't hurt anybody, but we don't like the way you're driving down the street. We're going to vote to have somebody with a gun and a costume and lights on top of their car to be able to run you down. And if you don't listen to them, they can escalate it all the way up to murder. And yeah, they're going to be able to go home and sleep that night. And they're going to be able to go home to their family that night. You won't. It is absolutely insane to me that I can walk down the street, to the store on the corner right here, and that somebody in a car can pull up, tell me to stop, and I have to stop. That is absolutely insane to me. If the only way someone should be able to do that is if in my walk, I've hurt somebody else's property or person. And they can do this. I mean, the guy in Los Angeles, I can't remember the gentleman's name, who the police just jumped out. He had a towel wrapped around his hand and they blew his head off. I mean, they literally blew half of his skull away. And the worst thing to the cops was the guy survived. I mean, we live in this insane world of authority worship. And until we get past this, we can't, I feel like we can't even call ourselves a civilization. I think when we say we live in a civilized country, we live in a civilized society, we're a civilization. I don't think people understand the word civil, because I don't see anything civil about what's going on right now.
Well, Mance, let's dig a little bit more into your path to becoming a libertarian, becoming interested in the ideas of liberty, because as you mentioned, even before you had really dug into these ideas, you were saying crazy things like, where's the damaged party? You were saying you were obviously had some sort of, I guess, rebellious thoughts against the authoritarianism in our system. So how did you actually take those thoughts, I guess, you might have had in your mind? I don't know. Maybe you can have a little more insight as to where those might have originated from. But how did that end up leading you down the path of libertarianism and learning more about the ideas of liberty?
Well, I was involved in a court case about 13 years ago, and I didn't see a victim. There was no victim. There was an alleged victim who never showed up for court and everything. And they just carried this on for over a year. And they were trying to get me to plead down to certain things. I don't want to get into the specifics of the case.
Sure.
But you know, they tried to get me to plead down and everything. And then it just because because the prosecutor screwed up really bad and the judge got pissed at him, they completely dropped the charges. So after that, you know, I had a couple years where I moved from Florida to Georgia, where I am now. And I had a couple years where I was just getting situated here. And all I cared about was, you know, building a career here. And then 2007, the whole Ron Paul, you know, seeing him in the debate. And I guess after 9/11, I was, is like anybody else, I was upset with what happened, and I was pretty much willing to go along with what the government wanted to do. But, you know, it, if you were paying any attention after a couple of years, and especially after the invasion of Iraq, I mean, I looked at everything leading up to the invasion of Iraq, and I'm like, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. And so I was pretty disillusioned, but as soon as Ron Paul started, you know, said, yeah, they hate us because we're over there. And that was just basically, I dove right in and just started reading. And, you know, Ron Paul had one book at the time, Foreign Policy of Freedom, I believe it was called.
Oh, I love that. That is one of the first books I read as well, because it's just a collection of a bunch of his speeches from, I believe, starting even in the 70s, mostly from like the 80s and 90s, about foreign policy. And reading them in like the 2000s, is in the late 2000s, is just mind blowing, because I mean, it's just so he's predicting the future. Essentially, he's telling you all the bad things that are going to happen if the United States intervenes here, intervenes there. And you look back and you go, yep, yeah, that was right. That's what happened.
Yeah, he was right. So, I mean, I just jumped down the rabbit hole, got my hands on some Rothbard, got my hands on really one of the books that just put me over the top was The Left, the Right, and the State by Lou Rockwell. And he was just, he wrote it. He just seemed to write it so angrily. I mean, he just seemed, he seemed like he was really pissed when he wrote it. And I mean, I was pissed at the time. I started realizing that I was not free. You know, that I basically lived in this free range prison, right. And, you know, started studying economics and, you know, started studying some basic texts, tackled Man, Economy, and State. And then I just took off a couple years to get my head together and, study some other stuff, studied some comparative religion stuff, yada, yada, went around. And then, once this last election cycle, presidential election cycle hit, I just thought, okay, this is a really good, looking at how ridiculous this is, how ridiculous the choices are. This would be a good time to start speaking my mind and see if anybody, you know, if anybody was interested in anything I had to say. So I took to Twitter and started really hitting up Twitter with intelligent memes, intelligent commentary, and people started following me and decided to do a podcast. And after I did a podcast for a while, I talked to Vin Armani, who I consider a friend now, even though we've never met face to face. And he said, man, I think these memes are really powerful. You really need to keep it up and do something with it, concentrate on it. And I decided to write a book based on, you know, where one day would be a meme and then I do a commentary on the meme. And I actually think that some of the days, if you look at the meme and you look at the commentary, I think some people will be like, I don't know if I even see it, because, you know, people see different things.
And yeah, that's the interesting thing about memes.
Yeah. And, people take it different ways. I mean, even today I posted up something and a couple people were like, I don't get it. And other people were like, yeah, man, awesome. And I'm like, well, that's just the nature of how you're going to interpret something.
We all have our filters that we view the world through. So whenever we see either a politician make a statement or a news story or a meme, we're taking whatever filter we've sort of already applied to the world and seeing it through that. So libertarians, people that are already libertarians, I think are going to look through your book and look through all these memes and think one way about a lot of them. There'll be a lot of head nodding, I think, from people that have been libertarians for a while, a lot of laughs. But other people who are new to it, they might not get a lot of the stuff in the same way right away. But I think that's the idea. The idea is to make you think. And that's why it's great that you have that commentary to go along with it, because then you're kind of, you know, pushing your ideas through that, showing what your interpretation of these memes are. How did you actually get first? Actually, before I get into that, there's one, just because I'm literally like thumbing through the memes right now while I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. And there's one that had me cracking out loud. This isn't a very deep philosophical meme, but this is, I'll give us one away. So there will still be 30 more days that people need to go get your book to read about. Okay. But it's day 25. Time for a laugh break. See, you already know. And part of it is the picture, because the picture's just hilarious. It's just this very nice looking old gentleman holding a cup of coffee, and the top one says, "Oh boy, time to make a friendly joke on my favorite libertarian page." And then he looks up, and the caption says, "Oops, everyone is cursing at each other." And I think anybody who's been in the libertarian universe, especially on Facebook or Twitter for a while, can absolutely relate to this experience, because sometimes we'll just make a statement or we'll say something we think is funny, and even if it is funny, or obviously that's always open to interpretation, there's someone in that libertarian page who's going to take that the wrong way, and maybe they'll call you a sadist, maybe they'll call you a communist, who knows, but for sure you're going to see some yelling and arguing. I like to think over in our Lions of Liberty forum on Facebook, just getting a quick plug in if you don't mind, we actually have a great group over there, and that kind of stuff doesn't really happen too much, but I've certainly seen it out there.
Well, the I think my whole take on that meme is that most libertarians, even, you know, I consider, obviously, being a voluntarist, I lean more anarchist. And then, you know, there are people who are more minarchist. And I think that even minarchists and anarchists can get together on 90% of this stuff. But we're really willing to claw each other's eyes out over that other 10%. And it's just hilarious to me. You know, sometimes I'll like post something up and people start fighting. And just, I want everybody to know, I'm laughing. I mean, I'm watching it and I'm just laughing. And if you see me comment in it, if you see me comment when you're arguing, that comment is to make it get even worse. Because I just want to see it escalate. Because it's just
cut to Mance with his feet up, smoking a cigar, and just, you know, cackling maniacally.
It's so funny because, you know, once you get down to it, especially, you know, as long as it's not like a hardcore statist in there or something like that, there'll be some resolution in the end. But you know, the hardcore statist will. I mean, I made the comment today that to somebody that, you know, they were talking about how Iran wants freedom. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, saying that, you know, the U.S. government wants Iran to have freedom. And I'm like, well, yeah, it'd be nice. You know, I guess we want freedom, too. That's why we have more laws than any other country. And the person immediately came back to me with, well, you can move to Somalia or Yemen. And it's just like, great. I mean, how many times am I going to hear that this week?
Because Yemen is super free.
Oh yeah, I mean, and let's face it. Yemen, the reason Yemen's in the situation it's in is because of U.S. foreign policy, and to a certain extent, so is Somalia. So it's like, oh, why wouldn't I want to move over there? I don't want to become a victim of the United States foreign policy. I don't want to get drone bombed when I go to the store. I mean, come on, guys. Come on.
As bad as it gets here, it can be a lot more dangerous to be in a country that has been targeted as an enemy.
Well, I mean, yeah, think about it. I mean, if our police force here is as dangerous as, you know, thank God that everybody has a video camera in their pocket now. Because imagine what the police got away with before that. I mean, think about it. If they say, oh, policing is, you know, is nowhere near as out of control as it is getting better. Well, that can only be because, you know, we're at a time where everybody has a cell phone. I mean, some of the stuff we're seeing right now is absolutely horrible. But, you know, then take it to another country where, you know, the world's police force is out in, you know, is out armed to the teeth and is. Or even if they're not on the ground, they're just bombing the living hell out of people. I mean, all you have to do is look at pictures of, you know, Libya 10 years ago compared to now, and Yemen 10 years ago compared to now, and Syria. Oh my! I mean, Syria. Or shoot, I mean, think about the bombings of Beirut, the USS New Jersey on Beirut in 1983, 1982, or in the early 80s. I mean, Beirut used to be called the Las Vegas of the Middle East. Now it's just rubble.
Those days are long over, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, oh, well, why don't you move to another country? Well, because I don't want to get droned.
I mean, almost the disasters in almost every country, not almost every country, literally every country you mentioned, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, Syria, can all be not even, I mean, can be not even indirectly traced back, directly traced back to United States foreign policy.
I mean, there is a cholera epidemic in Yemen right now that, I mean, it's the 21st century and there's a cholera epidemic in the world. And the only, and it's not like you need antibiotics. All you need is liquids. All you need is fluids.
But clean water.
But the U.S.-Saudi blockade on anything going into that country is causing, I mean, there's upwards, they say upwards of 1 million people could have cholera right now.
That's insane.
And that's directly caused by the government of the United States and the people who voted for them. Okay? You have Absolutely. To, if you're going to be a voter, you have to take responsibility for what they do. You're endorsing them.
I don't know if it's Lou Rockwell or somebody like that, but it's a phrase I've heard around there. If you're going to vote, at least have the decency to vote for someone who's not going to win.
Yeah, I don't remember. Back when I did vote, I don't remember the last person I voted for. Might have been Bush in 2000, but I mean, I think a lot of people got fooled by Bush in 2000 because he sounded like Ron Paul when he ran.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I was, I believe I was, 20 years old when, and that was my first election, and I also voted for George Bush. I certainly wasn't a libertarian at the time, but one thing I liked about him was how he talked about not being overseas, not being building other countries, and as someone who wasn't super political, that just made common sense to me. It wasn't even, a philosophical thing. I was just nodding my head thinking, well, that sounds, that makes sense. Why should we be all over the world? And obviously that didn't play out
well, if that's,
quite too well.
If that's common, if that sounds like common sense to a 20-year-old, but if that sounds like common sense to a 20-year-old, if you're 40 and you listen to something like that and you think it's naive, you have to ask yourself why you think that's naive. Because it just seems like common sense to most people, unless something is being fed into your brain that you have to believe something else.
It's almost like you have to believe something else. You have to be brainwashed to go from a point where something that would be common sense to the uninitiated, I suppose, actually become something that sounds so naive, because that's how far gone from common sense are not only the, what we learn in our schools, and then what we see on TV, what we hear from politicians. Well, I mean, every single step of the way, it goes completely against common sense, most of it. So I imagine the older you get and the more you accept those systems, if you are someone who's been accepting those systems, the more naive actual common sense from someone younger who hasn't maybe been through as much of that brainwashing is going to sound.
Well, yeah. And the thing I hate about getting older is,
I have a whole list for you. But yeah.
the older I get, the more I want liberty. I guess I could say the more libertarian I become, the more classically liberal I become. But in the other direction, most people I see as they get older, they become more conservative. And I mean, that's, people say, I've heard people say, no real change can be made in this world until all the boomers die, because the boomers got us into this and yada, 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 that and everything. And it's like, it really is. I mean, I see people as they get older, they just become more and more conservative. And unfortunately, in this culture, with what we're fed, especially if you're, I'm so glad that I can watch the news now with a filter, because, there was a time when I watched the news and I pretty much believed what was going on. And now I watch the news and I'm just searching for that grain of truth and ignoring everything else and just thinking it's crap. But I look at, I like watching the Kennedy show. Because I guess that's the closest thing to a libertarian show on TV. But she has these neocons on and these ex-CIA agent killers, murderers for hire.
Yeah, I think she's required to have like 10 CIA guys on for every remotely reasonable, even quasi-libertarian guest.
She had some arch neocon on, one of the guys that, that Tucker,
was it Bolton? Because I know she had Bolton on.
Oh, she has Bolton on all the time.
Yeah, but that's a blast.
Yeah, I know. Every time I see him, I'm just like,
especially because he's the most cartoony villain looking person you could imagine. if you wanted to imagine just a terrible neocon supervillain, you would draw John Bolton.
I'm like, Kennedy, I love you, girl, but if I see Max Boot on there, I'm never gonna watch again, right? Stop it already. They learn things a certain way, and they get on with their life, and they have kids, and they get into this just routine of, this is what I believe. I don't have any time to study any differently. Yada, yada. This is what I'm always going to believe. And and then they go and they vote, and it's one of the things. I'm glad I don't have kids, and I'm glad I don't plan on ever having kids, because it frees up so much time to learn things. To learn and to think.
It's a meme.
Yeah. To learn and to think and to have the time to actually talk to other people, even if it's through social media. I've built up a following, quote unquote, on Twitter. And I don't even consider, some of the people who are following me are much, much more educated on certain subjects than I am. So, it's more of a hangout, and hopefully we just have people more, we can draw more people in, and especially more young people, because I'm interacting with a lot of people a lot of young people on Twitter and Facebook who are calling themselves socialists, and they are studying this stuff, and they are quoting exactly what their college professors are telling them to quote. And it's pretty damn scary to think that, I've heard from people who've recently graduated college that, they've done 4 years and they've had the Communist Manifesto as a required book in up to 12 or 13 courses.
Wow.
That's just absolutely insane. That book is a joke. And my wife just reviewed that book for her, for her video podcast she does. And she basically just in 3 minutes just absolutely destroyed everything about it. And she said there's only really 3 pages you need to know. And then she just hammered boom, 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 boom. This is just, it doesn't work. This has been tried. No matter how perfectly you want to try it or how you think it hasn't been tried perfectly in the past, it's never going to work. And they've latched onto this. They hate me so much that they've hammered my book on Amazon with 1-star reviews. So it's like everybody who's bought the book has either 5-starred or 4-starred review it. And I didn't ask them to do it. They did it on their own. But they've hammered me with a bunch of 1-star reviews, and they're not verified purchasers and everything like that. And two of them clearly say he advocates stealing the wages of the worker, which is basically directly from Karl Marx. These people are absolutely insane, and they have to be stopped. This ideology has to be stopped. It's an ideology of death. We've seen it. Come on. Anybody who wants to advocate for this ideology, just go to Venezuela right now and tell
me. Go to Somalia.
Somalia is another one. Somalia is a failed Islamic communist, socialist state. They all fail unless they have some kind of capitalist mechanism keeping them alive. The Scandinavian states, yada, yada. It always has to be capitalism in there, because every time they try to do it without capitalism, without private ownership, it fails miserably and people die in the streets. It's remarkable that people are actually, that there are people out there that are actually still taking this seriously.
Well, man, so we're going to hope to battle not only the ideology of communism, but we're also going to hope to maybe battle some of these 1-star spammers on Amazon. So I'm not going to tell anybody to go out and review and 4- and 5-star review your book. I am going to encourage people to check it out, though. And I know that listeners of this show are very passionate about the ideas of liberty and are always interested in new avenues of doing that. And really, most importantly, of interesting other people in the ideas of liberty. And I think that's really, what the role of people like you and I are doing. You mentioned how there's so many other people out there that are more educated and more in depth on a lot of these ideas, and that's certainly the case with me. I don't consider myself an expert on any specific aspect of libertarianism. But what I, the reason I do the show, and I think the same reason you, you produce all these memes and are so active on Twitter, is I just want to plant seeds. I want to get people thinking a little bit differently, and I want to send people down rabbit holes. I want people to go down different rabbit holes and start learning and thinking deeper about, you know, the way that we interact with other people, the way that we interact in our society, what laws are, what authority is, all the same kind of themes that you're putting along there. So I think that people that listen to this program and enjoy the work I'm doing are really going to enjoy Freedom Through Meandom, the 31-Day Guide to Waking Up to Liberty. Is there anything else you want to mention about the book or about the format? I think it is a very interesting format. It's almost like, I think another interview with Dave Smith I heard you mentioned, it was kind of like a formatted like a daily devotional, sort of almost like a religious text might be, a religious book might be.
Yeah, I was doing accounting work for a Christian bookstore, and I noticed that they sold a lot of those, and I looked at the format of them, and I was impressed because, you know, it looked like something that, you know,
it's not intimidating,
in lieu of someone sitting down and reading a couple chapters of the Bible in the morning, they could sit down and they could read a verse and then read a commentary on the verse. And I just replaced the verse with a meme. And so I throw a meme, and the meme's on the left page and my commentary is on the right page. So you don't even have to change. You don't even have to turn the page. It's right there, laid out so that you can see it. And I mean, I just think that, and this is something that I've really come to believe. If you have kids that are teenagers, before you send them off to college, you have to get them ready for what they're going to learn. And they need to have a solid foundation. And I think my book's perfect for it. But I don't need to plug my book for it. You know, give them the 60-page Anatomy of the State by Rothbard, or give them something by Tom Woods, which is always easy. You know, he writes in such an, I mean, he's such a brilliant man and writes in such a simple way. I mean, you really have to prepare these kids before they go off to college, because if they don't have a firm foundation and freedom, you may not recognize the person who comes back. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that over and over again. I mean, just look at the Antifa movement. And these are kids who went to college. Some Marxist professors got a hold of them, and they must have not had a firm foundation in anything before they went there. And now they're rioting in the streets, committing violence, and they all admit that they're communists in the name of a failed, lazy, horrible human being. Just go research Karl Marx's life. I mean, they're adopting the ideology, an ideology of death and destruction and violence. And I think my book, because, you know, everybody, you know, anybody who's, you know, of a certain age who's on social media sees memes, and, you know, I think most people like memes if they're clever and everything. I think mine's perfect for college age, high school age, for anybody really. But I mean, I really want to concentrate on those young people, because, man, they're getting stolen by an ideology that's just absolute destruction.
Well, Mance, that's why people like myself are talking to people like you and putting it out on the internet and hoping that we can at least get through to maybe not some of those people. Hopefully, I like to think anybody can change. We've all had probably some crazy ideas in our youth, but to at least to some of the people that haven't fully made up their mind about political philosophy, but people that are a little bit confused, people that don't really see a home in the Republican Party of Donald Trump, people that don't see a home in the Democratic Party, people that might not see a home in any political party, because really this is about ideas more than it is about the day-to-day politics. Because at the end of the day, politics is going to follow culture. So what we need to attack, where we need to focus, is the culture. And that's, you know, that's what you and I are doing. So I definitely want to recommend checking out Freedom Through Memedom. I think it's a book that libertarians are going to find really entertaining and really fun, but also something they can then take after reading and hand it off to a friend and say, hey, just put this onto the back of your toilet. I know you're in there every day. Take 2 minutes. 2 minutes every day. And if at the end of that month you aren't thinking a little bit differently, well, so be it. But I think that's a simple little challenge that people could give to at least, you know, open-minded friends of theirs.
And, yeah, I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. We can just plant seeds. And I just started chapter 3 on my next book, which, surprisingly enough, is going to be all about the culture.
All right, well, I look forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be all about the culture. The first chapter was about democratic socialism creeping in. The second chapter was about college professors. And now the third chapter, I am getting into the SJW movement. And it's going to be the same format, except it's not going to be 31 days. It's going to be, you know, divided up into subjects. And I hope to make an impact with this as much as people are telling me I'm making an impact with the first one.
Well, I'm certainly open to having you back on when it is time to hit the old publish button on that book. So definitely looking forward to that. Before I let you go, man, is there anything else you want to mention? I know, like I mentioned at the top of the show, you do have a podcast as well, Free Man Beyond the Wall. Feel free to talk about that a bit and just let everybody know where they can find all your work.
Well, yeah, freemanbeyondthewall.com. I have the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Evoox, which is a Spanish podcast. I had some people in Spain who wanted me to put it on there. YouTube, and all you have to do is search Mance Rayder or Free Man Beyond the Wall. I'm on 72 or 73 episodes right now. I was doing what I was calling my meme of the day, where I would talk about a meme and I would do a short commentary, sometimes 4 minutes, sometimes seven, sometimes eight. And I've abandoned that because I'm letting the book and letting my Twitter account take care of that now. I'm getting a lot more into interviews. So I have a great interview with Scott Horton back in the 20s, which is a phenomenal interview. It's the greatest. I mean, obviously, you know Scott Horton. I'm sure you've had him on.
He's been on quite a few times.
Yeah, and I mean,
it's hard to go wrong with Scott Horton.
Yeah, it's the best. I mean, you just ask a good question and let him go. I've had Adam Kokesh on, Vin Armani talking about cryptocurrency. One of the best people you can have talk about cryptocurrency, because not only does he understand what it is now, but he's one of those people who's planning on helping to, you know, use it to take down the centralized central power, basically the international banking cartel. And if you can take them down, then you can take down the power of the government. And I'm trying to get more into interviews of content creators, someone like Rollo McFlugel, who I had on the other day, and someone like Esoteric Entity, who I had on as well. These guys are staying up late at night after they get home from work and creating content for people so that they can, you know, help promote freedom. And, you know, these guys like you, you encourage me so much, and I get so much inspiration from, you know, what you do. I mean, shoot, the Perkins interview that you released yesterday. I mean, God, I learned so much from that interview.
Oh yeah, that guy's phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, we're a community. I hope we can all learn from each other, because when it comes right down to it, we need each other. I mean, we're going to need each other for where we're going. And, we got to come together, even though, you know, we'll throw up a joke and our favorite libertarian site and then start cursing at each other.
For sure. Wouldn't be libertarians if we couldn't curse at each other a little bit, right?
No.
Well, man, thank you so much for joining me today, man. It's been a blast. And again, the book is Freedom Through Memedom, the 31-Day Guide to Waking Up to Liberty. Be sure to check it out. And the podcast is Free Man Beyond the Wall. So be sure to check all that great stuff out. Man, I'm sure you're going to continue to be a very powerful voice in the liberty movement going forward. And, we'll definitely keep in touch and talk to you down the road.
I appreciate it, man. It was my honor to be on. Thank you.
Great, man. Let's keep up the great work and keep on roaring.
Thanks. Take care now. I want to thank you for listening to the Free Man Beyond the Wall podcast. I want to thank Mark for having me on. Remind you about my book, Freedom Through Memedom. It's on Amazon. I have an interview lined up this Sunday, which is only in a couple days. And I guarantee you're going to want to hear this, because there's going to be some information about a major event that happened in the 90s. That you have not heard before. And if you have heard some of it, you haven't heard it put together in the way that you're going to hear it this weekend. So thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you in a couple days. Take care. Bye.